Minyanim from what we covered so far since the beginning of the first parak. As usual, I'm not going to be able to get to every last point, but we'll try to cover all the sugyos in halacha, and I'd also like to try to go through the Agadah stuff also, because as Rebbe emphasized, Rebbe once told me that to say that Agadata is an important chelk of Torah is redundant. Say Agadata is part of Torah, that itself gives enough chashivas to the Isak itself. But Rebbe understands that can still accomplish that and adjust the schedule a little bit, and that's why we're going to be going back and forth until we complete the Agadata. But I don't know exactly what time we'll finish, but please don't feel uncomfortable to leave whatever time you got to leave, and try to cover things efficiently, Bezos Hashem. Okay, so from Daf Beis, fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos as to when exactly is the Ikar Zman for Kriya Shma. Rashi seems to say that the Parasha Rishona that you say at night before you go to sleep is a kiyum of entire mitzvah Kriya Shma that one is required to do, and Tosfos has problems with that, and obviously it's nogea what time the minhag is to daven in the shuls before or after the Tesef Kochavim. But the pashas is that you get the impression from Rashi that the only thing that's d'oraisa is that Parasha Rishona, maybe even the first pasuk, but certainly no more than the first Parasha, and that's the reason why that's acceptable as the only thing you're going to read after Tesef Kochavim, whereas the rest of Kriya Shema is said as Kadei Lamod Mitoch Devei Torah for Tefillah at Ma'ariv. And Tosfos is Masig and says that's unacceptable, and therefore a lot more of Kriya Shema has to be said later at night. The question is, what does Tosfos hold? So you might say, and this is how the Pre-Chadosh learns, that Tosfos holds that the second Parsha is also Midarais, and therefore has to be said at the right time. One could get that impression from Tosfos in the beginning of the second Perek. Alternatively, you might say that the Ram holds like that the Tosfos holds like the Rambam, which is that all three parshas of Kriya Shema are d'oraisa, and therefore all three parshas have to be said after Tesef Kochavim. However, we can suggest that maybe the question of whether or not Tosfos holds two or three are d'oraisa needs a little more examination. We have Yisod from the Rav; he has this in the Kuntres Kriya Shema in the Yartzei Shirim. That we find in the Gemara that a person who has kavana for the first pasuk of Kriya Shema will work dainu he'll be yotzei mitzvos Kriya Shema even if you hold that much more than the first pasuk is d'oraisa. So how could it be if I hold all three parshas d'oraisa I only need kavana for the first pasuk? So Rav explains that basically all the yisodos that we discuss in the other parshas of Kriya Shema are really explications of what is already implicit in the first pasuk. If the first pasuk centers on the etzem kabbal samach shemayim that a yid has to do, so then the other parshas, let's say in the second parsha, focuses on kabbal sol mitzvahs charva onesh. So that's an expression of kabbal sol malchus shemayim in terms of the tzivuim that a person has to be makayim. The third parsha of Kriya Shema discusses Hashgachas Hashem, Nitzis Mitzrayim, also a spin-off, so to speak, of what is already implicit in the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. So therefore, as long as a person has that Ikar Kavanah at the beginning, that might work for the rest of Kriya Shema as well. So even if we say that Pashas is like Tosfos hold like the Rambam, that all three Pashas maybe have to be said after Kriya Shema, after Tesef Kochavim, the Tzad to bolster maybe saying only two Pashas are D'oraisa according to Tosfos, is that maybe holds it even if the third Pasha is D'rabbanan. But if that third Pasha is a spin-off of the first Pasuk of Kriya Shema, the Hainu, that it's an extension and an elaboration of the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim from the beginning, maybe that was Nitkan as one unit and also has to be done after Tesef Kochavim. Well, then even if Tosfos maybe holds only the first Parsha is D'oraisa, but as long as Chazal or Masakin that the other Parshas of Kriya Shema have to be said in conjunction with that beginning of Kriya Shema, so Kishen that the beginning has to be done after Tesef Kochavim, so too that Takana was that all has to be done after Tesef Kochavim. So Yesh Ladon in what exactly Tosfos holds. The other important point that comes out of that machlokas is the geder of Birchas Kriya Shema as they relate to Kriya Shema itself. According to Rashi, you're not required to say Birchas Kriya Shema Bizmana, and that might imply that, Rashi himself says that that's all part of the Kedei Lamod L'Tefillah Mitoch Devei Torah. You get the impression that, according to Rashi, the Birchas Kriya Shema are very loosely connected to the Kriya Shema itself. That is the sheet of the Chuvas HaRajba. Chuvas HaRajba holds that a person, let's say they miss Zman Kriya Shema, so you can still make the Birchas Kriya Shema after the Zman has already passed. Because even though they were nitkan to be said with kriyashma, lav davka that they're mamish birchas hamitzvah of kriyashma. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to hold that no, the birchas kriyashma and kriyashma are always to be treated as one unit, and therefore, even if a person misses man kriyashma, when it comes time that he does daven, so he should say the birchas kriyashma and he should say kriyashma again. The explanation for that might be either the Chiddush of the Kesef Mishnah, which is not generally accepted by the Achronim, that the Rambam holds that Zman Kriyashma is Kol Hayom. So if the Kiyum for Zman Kriyashma is Kol Hayom, more than just the first 3 hours, so of course I can still say the Berachas Kriyashma later, and you know they're associated with the Kriyashma itself, no matter what time I'm doing it. On the other hand, the Rambam might be saying something a little more subtle, that if you look in Sefer HaMitzvahs, we actually find two mitzvahs that are Mekuyim al-Day Kriyashma. Number one is Mitzvah Seyud, which is the Kriya of Kriyashma, and Mitzvah Seybeis, which is Emunah, and as it relates to Kabbalah, so Omach HaShemayim. So it could be that the Rambam holds it, even if you miss out on the first mitzvah we just mentioned, of Kriyashma, which has a distinct Zman of the first three Shalos Hayom, I'm still Makayim, the Kiyim of Emunah and Kabbalah, so Omach HaShemayim, as it relates to mitzvahs, say beis and sefer mitzvahs, even la'acher shalosh shalos, and since there still is that kiyum to kriyashma, one can recite the birchas kriyashma there as well. And that might be what the Rambam is referring to in the beginning of Hilchos Kriyashma when he talks about kriyashma be'onasa. Kriyashma be'onasa means reading kriyashma at its proper time, implying that there might be a secondary time for a person to read kriyashma as well, which we're assuming now is after shalosh shalos, mitzvah the second kiyum of mitzvahs say beis and sefer mitzvahs. We pointed out also that based on the Tosfos at the bottom of the daf, you get the impression that he holds like the Rajba. The Gemara is talking about where exactly we're coming off of when we start the mission about Meimis Akronis Shema Ba'arvin, and the Gemara answers at the beginning. The second answer of the Gemara is Vayer Vayivoker Yom Echad, that we're coming off of the Psukim of Maisa Bereishis. And Tosis discusses this in connection to the Gemara later, which ends up discussing Birchas Kriyashma of Shachris before it talks about Kriyashma of Arvis, which is seemingly inconsistent with the approach that the Tana wanted to discuss the Seder Hayom of the Psukim of Vayer Vayivoker, and instead put Kriyashma of Shachris first. So the answer seems to be, according to Tosis, because over there we're discussing Birchas Kriyashma of Shachris, and if we assume like the Rajba, that Birchas Kriyashma are not nitkan as one unit, like the Rambam says with Kriyashma, that anytime you say Birchas Kriyashma, you always say Kriyashma with it, but rather you can imagine saying one without the other, so then you understand why it doesn't necessarily follow that just because we go with Vayer Vayivoker and discussing Kriyashma per se, we might still talk about the Birchas Kriyashma Shal Shachris first, because the Brachos of Kriyashma are not to be viewed as one solid unit with Kriyashma Gufa. On that topic, it's important to just have the idea. There's a couple different approaches in terms of whether or not we view Birchas Kriyashma as a Birchas Mitzvah of Kriyashma, whether or not Kriyashma needs a Brach Bechlal, why it should be different than any other Birchas Mitzvah. So the Avodah Zarah explains it in Anachanami. Even though we have these Birchas Kriyashma, Pashas, he assumes, closer to the Rajba, it's not because it's a brachas mitzvah on the mitzvah of kriyashma. Why is that? Because be'etzim every bracha you make on a mitzvah is to establish kabbalas amal hashemayim as a hakdama to the performance of the mitzvah. But if you say kriyashma and that's kol atzmusa is kabbalas amal hashemayim, so it wouldn't be necessary to then go ahead and institute a bracha as well to be mocked in the kriyashma. On the totally opposite extreme, the Ramban says an anachnami. Birchas Kriyashma should be viewed as a Birchas HaMitzvah, and that's why he's of the opinion that there should be no interruptions between the Birchas Kriyashma and Kriyashma itself. We spoke about Yireinenu at Meiriv being a possible hefsek between Birchas Kriyashma and Kriyashma itself. We spoke about Kel Melech Ne'eman when you're davening B'chibas. All nafkaminas, according to Ramban, probably should not be said, because they're an interruption between the Birchas HaMitzvah and the Mitzvah itself. A middle shita could be that in a Hanami, Kriyashma is tone Birchas HaMitzvah like any other mitzvah. However, it could be that, like the Rav explained, a mitzvah that is performed in the context of a bracha does not need an additional bracha instituted for its sake. The classic example of that is what the Baal Mor says in Rosh Hashanah, that originally the takan of tkiyas shofar on Rosh Hashanah was only the tkiyas d'me'uma that we say inside the Shemona Esrei, not like we do. We start blowing shofar earlier before the Shemona Esrei begins, and we taka have a bracha of Lishmo Kol Shofar before we start those tekiyas. But in the Zman of Chazal, when the only tekiyas they would make would be in Malchis, Achronis, and Shofros, inside the Shemona Esrei, there was no additional bracha of Lishmo Kol Shofar. Again, as an example of what we're saying, that the mitzvah of shofar is being performed in the context of brachas and therefore does not need an additional bracha. What it didn't could be that the mitzvah Kriyat Shema is being performed within the context of the brachas of Geula, Yotzer Or, whatever it might be, and therefore does not need an additional bracha as a hakdama. Okay, in terms of the Zmani Hayom, so just to clarify, I know a lot of people had trouble with this. Let's just go over the basic shitas of the Vilna Gaon and the Rebbeinu Tam, and we'll try to go into more detail afterwards. So we have a steer in Gemaras between the Gemara and Shabbos and the Gemara and Pesachim. One Gemara says that the amount of time between Shkia and Tzeis HaKochavim is Dalad Mil. Okay? And that's the Gemara in Pesachim. Gemara and Shabbos seems to have a much shorter period of time between Shkia and Tzeis HaKochavim, and that is 3/4 of a mil. Okay, obviously there's a drastic difference between the two of them, 3 1/4 mil. So how do we resolve the stira? So Rabbeinu Tam holds that there's actually two times that we refer to as shkia. The first one is the sunset, and that's called tchila shkia, shkia rishona. And then there's something that happens 3 1/4 mil later, which is called sof shkia, or shkia shnia. And between that point of shkia shnia and tzeis HaKochavim, is what Rabbeinu Tam refers to as Bein HaShemashos, which effectively is 3/4 of a mil, which is what the Gemara in Shabbos says. So again, you have three points in time. You have Techila Shkia, Sof Shkia, then another 3/4 mil, and that's Tzeis HaKochavim. Sach HaKol, Dalad Mil, according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Vilna Gaon also agrees that the duration of Bein HaShemashos is 3/4 of a mil. He just holds that Bein HaShemashos takes place much earlier. Dehainu, go back to the first point in time, Shkia Rishona, Techila Shkia, count 3/4 of a mil. Right then, at the end of 3/4 of a mil, that's Tzeis HaKochavim. Okay, so basically, the difference between Rabbeinu Tam and the Vilna Gaon is that, according to the Vilna Gaon, it's Laila Gomer, it's Tzeis HaKochavim, 3 1/4 mil before Rabbeinu Tam's Tzeis HaKochavim occurs. Alternatively, you could say that the Machlokas is when Bein HaShemashos is. According to Vilna Gaon, Bein HaShemashos kicks in right when the sun sets. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the Bein HaShemashos is the last 3/4 of a mil before Tzeis HaKochavim occurs. And it's important to be familiar with some of the main tainas that the Gaon has against Rabbeinu Tam. Number one, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you're operating with an astronomical event that doesn't really exist. The Rabbeinu Tam basically says that the first time the sun sets, which is what we see when the sun goes below the horizon, is totally meaningless. And the real shkia that makes a difference is the 3 1/4 mil that takes place after we see the sun disappear. Vilna Gaon says, Mechatesi, what does that mean? You don't see anything happening, you don't see anything taking place, so why should we ignore the astronomical event that we do see and make up some new event that is not nearly nine? Another kasha is the Gemara in Shabbos says that in Marava they were light the Mispalim Dumdume Chama, that they would put some sort of curse, some sort of... They would frown upon those people who would wait till close to the sunset when they wanted to daven mincha. So according to the Vilna Gaon, that makes a lot of sense, because if shkia is when the sun sets, all right, it's a bad idea to wait till all the way to the end of the day before you can daven mincha, because you might get caught up with something and you're not going to be able to daven. According to Rabbeinu Tam, great, the sun set, doesn't matter. I still have another 3 1/4 mil left till I can't daven mincha anymore. So why do you have such a hakpada the name Arava? So agav, though that is a strong taina. It's only half a taina, and the Gaon would acknowledge this as well, that we found in the Shurim at the beginning of the fourth parak, a machlokus between the Shagas Ari and the number of Rishonim on one hand versus the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, as to when Rabbeinu Tam holds the Sof Zman Mincha is. And a Hanami, according to Rabbeinu Tam, like we said, Shkia is not until much later. Bein HaShemashos doesn't begin until close to Teisa Kochavim. Nevertheless, the ending point for Mincha is the ending point for Zrikas Adam in Mikdash, which is at the Shkia Hanures, as we refer to the Tchila Shkia. So according to those opinions, which is the Shagas Ari and others, Rabbeinu Yonan and others, that the last time to have a mincha, according to Ben Tam, is Takashkia, the same time that the Gaon people say is the last time you can have a mincha. It's only going to be a kasha, according to those who are like the Shekhas Aryeh, that the Zman for mincha, according to Ben Tam, extends until the Shkia Shnia. Okay. There's some other tainas, but those are two of the very strong ones. So the Rav basically explained the Machlokas on a simple level like this. According to Rabbeinu Tam, if we examine what are the factors that are really koveya in determining the Zmani Hayom, according to Rabbeinu Tam, our focus is Orin Choshech. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Choshech, Tseis Kol HaKochavim, as the Gaon refers to it, is that period of time all the way at the end, 4 mil after Shkia. Okay, so the Rabbeinu Tam is looking for the point in which there's really no light left in the sky, before he's going to tell you that it's really nighttime. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the question of Laila is Or versus Choshech. Whereas according to the Vilna Gaon says, you know, how dark it is, it's 20% dark, 30% dark, 40% dark, that's not so much of an issue for us. We're focusing on sunrise and sunset. Zricha and Shkia are the determining factors. However, according to the Gaon, you have to say something a little more nuanced as well. Because according to the Gaon's Girsa, it comes out that according to Behuda, the time that the Torah tells you a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma is after Shkia takes place. After Shkia takes place, that's when you can start eating Truma. Even though the Vilna Gaon would tell you that, to start doing Malacha, Motzei Shabbos, is after Teisa Kochavim. Okay? Because the Gaon, even though he focuses on Zericha and Shkia, still acknowledges that there are some nafkaminas for what Teisa Kochavim does for you. And we'll understand that better in a second. But this is one nafkamina. According to the Gaon, I can't do Malacha Motzei Shabbos until after Teisa Kochavim. At the same time, according to Behuda, I'm allowed to eat Truma and I have a dinner of Harib Shimsho after Shkia. So what's a pshat? Didn't we say that the Bein HaShemashos period between Shkia and Teisa Kochavim is a suffix? How could it be that the Torah is coming to tell you, yeah, Kohen's allowed to eat in that period of time of suffix? In Shemayim, it's not a suffix. In Shemayim, Akash Baruch Hu knows when the day is over, when the new day begins. So how could it be that the Torah is being misyaches to this period of time and saying, yes, Kohen is allowed to eat in the suffix man? Obviously, the suffix has to have some sort of significance on a Doraisa level, in Shemayim. Ki'ilu, that the Torah, Akash Baruch Hu, recognizes this man of suffix as well. And that is what the Rav is Machadesh here, which is really a Ritva in Yuma, that there's a Chefta B'fnei Atzma called Bein HaShemashos, which is a Tarti D'Sasrei of Laila and Yom. Dahainu, that the Vilna Gaon says, on the one hand, I have the Hagdara of Yom that follows Shkia and Zricha, which is sunrise, sunset. On the other hand, I know that there's also something called Laila, which is based on Teisa Kochavim. The Gemara says that explicitly. So how do I deal with these two stiras? So the answer is that the Torah recognizes a yishuv, so to speak, of that stira. It's not really a yishuv, because the Torah says that both of those manim exist simultaneously, and the discrepancy, the height of the time between Shkia and Teisa Kochavim, which is Laila according to one cheshbon and Yom according to the other cheshbon, has an independent status called Bein HaShemashos, which is a chefza of Yom and Laila. That's very important, because that explains why there's no Bein HaShemashos in the morning. Meaning, if Bein HaShemashos was just a suffix between should we go based on Zricha, should we go based on Alos HaShachar, so you should have a suffix period as well between Alos HaShachar and sunrise. But no, you have a Yerushalmi that says HaBoker Or, that the real determination of the morning is based on the Or. That's our gather in the morning. But since there's no such hachra at nighttime, so therefore we treat that as a period of suffik, of a din suffik, that's bein yom, bein laila, between Shkia and Seis HaKochavim. Okay. Ad kan, for now, the Rav's word. Okay, we... We mentioned, number one, that the Netziv has this similar yisod as well. Tzafnas Paneach has a similar yisod. And they, at least the Netziv, talks about it in a different context. The Gemara over here brings the Pesukim from Ezra and Nehemiah when they're building the Beis HaMikdash and learns out that Lila goes based on Tzeisik HaChavim. But the Gemara only says that that's a Zecha L'davar. So the question is, how come over here it's a Zecha L'davar, but when those very same Pesukim are quoted for the definition of morning and night in the Gemara and Megillah, Lagabe, what mitzvos are mitzvos hayom, mitzvos halayla, when they can be performed? There, the Gemara doesn't say that it's just a zechel dover. There, the Gemara assumes it's a rayel dover. So one mahalach is that when it comes to kriyashma, is what the Balei Tosfos learned. When it comes to kriyashma is based on zman shchiva, zman kima. So these can give us guidelines as to when zman shchiva might be, but until I have a pasuk that says this is the time that people go to sleep, and therefore Kriyashma, which is Talin Shchiva, should be based on that, I don't have a clear-cut raya from a pasuk that's what I should use as my determining factor. Whereas the Gemara in Megillah that's talking about what mitzvahs can be done at day, what mitzvahs can be done at night, so there the Gemara wants to know what is night, what is day. We're not concerned with Zman Shchiva and Zman Kima, so therefore it can serve as a raya Gemura. The Netziv says, based on the Rashi in Megillah, that the focus of those psukim in the Gemara over there is to determine what time day is. Whereas our sugya is talking about night. So even if it's a Raya Gemura Lagabi the day, it could be it's not a Raya Gemura in terms of the night. And as a side point, the Netziv is also Metzayan himself in Hamik Shela, Rabbi quoted, that how can we find that we use a term, Bein Hayom Uvein Halayla, we don't say Bein HaKodesh Uvein HaChol. So the answer is because of this this yisod of the Rav that there's something azman habein. There's a there's some distinct period of time between the yom and the laila called bein hashmashos. Whereas in the hevdel between kodesh and chol, there's no in between. It's either it's like the Rebbe likes to quote from the Chovos Halavavos. There's nothing in life called rishus. There's either mitzvah and there's iser. Anything that you think is a rishus, you think a vacation is a rishus. No, a vacation could either be a mitzvah, if it's for the right purposes and with the right necessity, or it's a bittul Torah. So it has to fit into one of those two categories. Agav, Al-Kim Inol Yadi, right after Rebbe said that, I saw in the Parsha Shmini, in the Emes Liakov, he has two very nice mahalchim about how come sometimes we say bein kodesh, bein chol, bein yom, bein laila, sometimes we don't. Just a mar makam, you might want to take a look. Okay. Weiter in understanding the Das Hagon. Tosfos Shabbos says that once the Gemara tells us that the Zman between Shkia and Tzeisik HaChavim is Dalad Mil, the amount of time it would take a person to walk that distance of Dalad Mil, so he says, let's make a very simple experiment. Let's just set someone out at Shkia and see how long it takes him to get that far. And when he gets that far, we'll know that the period of time is up for how long Tzeisik HaChavim is supposed to be after Shkia. So the Gon says that's not a Raya, because when Chazal gave their time of Dalad Mil after Shkia, they meant it in a very specific scenario. The Hainu at the latitude that Bavel is located, which is actually a little bit farther north of Eretz Yisrael, I think. Certainly more north than Europe, where the Balei Tosfos were discussing it, I think. If I get that wrong, is it more south? Yeah, I guess it's closer to the... Wait, what am I thinking? Yeah. It's more south. Of course, Yeah, I'm sorry. Right. I don't know why I said that, but okay, thank you. It's been a while since I've been in one of those classrooms with the map at the front.
The fact that the Sukkim and the Gemara is to steer the reality, is that Marsha goes
enough? Not familiar, but okay. So the Gon was saying, number one, that those Zmanim are specific to Eretz Yisrael. I'm sorry, Bavel. Both sides, and not only are they specific to that locality in the world, but also in terms of the time of year. That according to the Gemara, when we talk about Dalad Mil, we also talk about the time of year of the equinox. The equinox, for anyone who doesn't know, is the point on the calendar where the Shos Hayom and the Shos Halayla are equal, and we have a vernal equinox and an autumnal equinox. But what is that? I think that's right. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, so the Vilna Gaon obviously is rejecting Tosfos's premise that when Chazal gave Dalad Mil, they were talking about one ironclad shear that will give you your zman for the whole year. However, even if the Gaon argues, this is a smuchen for what the Prima Gaon says, that the zman for Rabbeinu Tam's Tzeis Kochavim is 72 minutes after Shkia the whole year round, which is where Baron Soloveitchik said that to hold like the Prima Gaon and go 72 minutes is actually a big kula. Because if you really want to be a Rabbeinu Tamnik, if you really want to be a brisker Rabbeinu Tamnik, so you could wait 2 hours after Shkia during the summer. Because if you're assuming that the Zmanim change, depending on the time of year and the locality, it can extend much further past 72 minutes. If, however, we do assume, like the Gaon, that the time depends on where you are and what time of year, so there's one of two ways to make that cheshbon. We have to go to Eretz Yisrael, wherever the Zman was established for, at the Zman at Tekufa, and we have to do one of two things. Either we have to say, calculate how much percentage of the entire day the period of time between Shkia and Tzeis Kochavim is. Okay, let's say it comes out that it's 10% of the day. So if the period between Shkia and Tzeis Kochavim is 10% of the day, so then we'll know that no matter what time of year it is, even if it's the middle of the winter, just calculate the number of Shos Hayom, and we'll say that whatever 10% of that calculation is, let's say 10% of 10 hours is 1 hour, so it means that the amount of time to Tzeis Kochavim is 1 hour after Shkia, that time of year. Obviously, I'm just making up the numbers. Another way to do it, a little more scientifically, is if you calculate how many degrees below the horizon the sun has reached at that point when Tzeis Kochavim has occurred, so then we'll always know proportionally, whatever time of year it is, wherever you happen to be located, once the sun reaches below that point, so then you know nighttime has come. If you look on the charts that talk about the Zmanim, so you'll see 16.1 degrees, different cheshbonos, that they use computers to figure out exactly what time it is when the sun reaches that point in the below the horizon. Okay, so that's in terms of machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaon. We also introduced the machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Gaon as it relates to when the calculations of the Zman Yom begin. Do they start at Alos HaShachar, as Magen Avraham holds, or do they start at Shkia Sachama, at Hanei Sachama, which is the opinion of the Vilna Gaon? Rabbi Ilson likes to point out that the word is not Neitzachama, it's Hanetzachama. Sometimes people think that Hanetz just means the Neitzachama, but really the word is Hanetz. Actually came up in Sugin Ketzim Avarchim earlier in the year, that Hanetz is like the Hanetz Shalom, the beginning of the blossoming of the fruit. So I think that's the same thing when it comes to the sunrise. It's not Neitz, it's Hanetz. Okay, stop. Okay, so if you look at the sugyas in Daf Gimel and Daf Dalad, so it seems that it comes out a cheshbon from Tosas that in the same way that the Shos Halayla end at Amud HaShachar, the Shos Hayom begin at Alos HaShachar. And that's where the Magen Avraham gets his opinion from. It's unclear whether or not the Vilna Gaon likes that Raya, or he doesn't like the Raya, but even if he does like the Raya, it could be he's still disagrees with the Magen Avraham's Psach like Rabbeinu Tam. However, the only way to get out of that riot from the Balik Tosfos would be to say that, according to some cheshbon, the Shos Hayom begin before the Shos Halayla end. Which means if the Shos Halayla go till Hanetz, but maybe the Shos Hayom start at Alos or something like that. The Chazon Ish has something like that. Obviously, it would probably be more mistaber to assume that there's a uniform start and end point for the Zman Hayom. But the Vilna Gaon says we're going from the Hanetz until Shkia. And one of the rias he brings is that scientifically, as we discussed before, there's something called an equinox, which is a point in time when the hours of the day and the hours of the night are equal. If you calculate from Alos to Tzeis, like the Magen Avraham, so then you'll never have a period of time that is exactly equal. It's just the Metzius is like that. You will only have an equal amount of day and night hours if you count from sunrise to sunset. Lechora, in the same, as we've been applying up until now, the Gaon would say, therefore, that Chatzos Hayom is right smack in the middle of those Shos Hayom and Shos Halayla, whether it's during the day or whether it's at night, because Rich and Shkia are really the primary kovim of when the Shos Hayom and Shos Halayla are to be calculated. However, we find Rishon Zalman has an achuva not like that. He says that the Cheshbon of Chatzos at night should not go from Shkia until Zricha, but rather only goes until Alos HaShachar, because we find in that Mishnah Megillah that Alos HaShachar is Yom L'chol Torah Kulo. So how could it be that Chatzos, which has to be the middle point of the hours of Alayla, is going to be anything other than the middle of the beginning to the end, and the end is Alos HaShachar? But it's a little hard to understand how Rishon Zalman was saying this in the Vilna Gaon, because the Vilna Gaon seems to say that in the same way Chatzos is right smack in the middle of Zricha Rishki in the morning, that should follow that Chatzos is in the middle of the night as well, from Shkia until Zricha. And that is how the Rav assumes in the Vilna Gaon's Shita. Now the question is there any connection between the opinion of the Magen Avraham and the Rabbeinu Tam? Meaning, Bishlam, we know the Magen Avraham holds that you calculate from Alos until Tzeisuk Chavim, and we know the Rabbeinu Tam holds that night is at Tzeisuk Chavim, but does that mean that Rabbeinu Tam has to also assume that the beginning of the day is at Alos HaShachar? And is that a function of him agreeing to the Magen Avraham that those two shitas are intertwined? So Pashas, you would say like that, and that's what Rebbe said, Lefumriya, to make sense, because according to the Rabbeinu Tam, Zricha and Shkia, sunrise and sunset, don't have any inherent meaning in Halacha, as we explained before. So if they don't have any inherent meaning in Halacha, why should we assume that Rabbeinu Tam looks at anything other than Alos HaShachar and Tzeisuk HaChavim? Nevertheless, the Rav did not go with that. The Rav instead assumed that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Shos Hayom are not to be calculated to Tzeisuk HaChavim, because we find that, for instance, in the din of Richuk Makom, person is far away from the Beis HaMikdash, on Erev Pesach, it's determined by how far he can get, if he can get to the Beis HaMikdash from where he is, until Shkia. So you see that Shkia has some chalos in Shas, even according to the Rabbeinu Tam people, and that's because it's a din in Shirei Hayom, that Shirei Hayom have to be discreet and distinct, and there has to be some nicker way that I can say, okay, the Shos Hayom have ended. And you have that with Shkia. You don't have that with Tzeisuk HaChavim, because Tzeisuk HaChavim is sort of a progression of the diminishing light as time goes on. Yesh Lodin Bezeh, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later. I didn't go into all the details, but according to the Rav, Rabbeinu Tam was not necessarily working with the Magen Avraham's Zmanim as they relate to Shos Hayom. Okay, getting back to some of the ideas, according to different opinions, the shear from meal that we discussed will come out to different numbers. They could be 18 minutes, and that's what the Vilna Gaon paskins. They could be 24 minutes. It could be 22 and a half minutes. That's a discussion in Tufnun Tess when the Gemara says that the amount of time that it takes for an Issa to be Machmitz is one meal. The amount of time it takes to walk, one meal. And those differences of numbers, A, stem from Girsa and how you learn the Gemara in Pesachim, on Tzadik Gimel Beis, Tzadik Dalet, and also based on the Machloksin we've just been discussing, how much you're going to, when are you going to start counting, from Alos or from Hanetzachama. Just for our purposes, since in general we follow the Gaon, so the Vilna Gaon's understanding is you start from sunrise and you go to sunset, and the understanding of the Gemara Mesachim that he has is that one can walk 4 mil between Alos and Hanetz, 4 mil from Shkia to Tzeis, and 40 mil during the rest of the day. So if I take 720 minutes, which is the number of minutes in a 12-hour day, and divided by 40, so I will come out with 18 minutes. And if I have 18 minutes, that means that each one of those meal is going to be a duration of 18 minutes, and that's why the Gaon holds that Bein HaShemesh is 18. The meal of Bein HaShemesh is 18 minutes long, and 3/4 of that is Bein HaShemesh itself. Okay, but it's clear from the Pesach of the Machaber and the Ramah didn't argue about this in Hilchos Shabbos, that the time that we're going to be passing like is Rabbeinu Tam. That it's only Laila Gomer at Seisu Kochavim. There's a question if the Mechaber is actually Chozer from that in Hilchos Mila, because he doesn't say explicitly what he says in Hilchos Shabbos. But Bavadi and others say, why should he assume like that? Pasha says the Mechaber learns what he learns in the other place, and unless he comes along and says explicitly that he holds differently, we have to assume that he was not Chozer from what he wrote in Hilchos Shabbos, that the Sof Hayom, let's say, the end of Shabbos, is going to be after the Zman of Rabbeinu Tam. But that would still leave us with a big cool, according to the Sephardim, that I could keep doing Malacha until the much later time of Rabbeinu Tam and Erev Shabbos. And Rabbi Vadi said to that, no, even for the Bnei Sfarad, they still have to be Machmir from the Zman of Shkia itself. And even though the Mechaber has this big Kula, apparently before the time of the Shulchan Aruch, that was not an accepted Kula, and therefore the Mechaber to come along and do something which was against the Minhag Olam is not binding even for those who follow Psak Maran HaBeit Yosef. So therefore, one would have to stop doing melacha as soon as Shkia comes. That's how Mishnah Berurah paskins. Ramosha also paskins like that. Although Ramosha has a tzad kula within that chumra that he says, even though you have to wait for the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, Ramosha looked out of his window in the Lower East Side and came to the conclusion that Tzitzik Chavim is about 45, 50 minutes or so after Shkia, and held that that was sufficient. In Yerushalayim, though, the minhag in general is to be mekel like the Vilna Gaon, perhaps because of the influence of the Talmidei HaGaon who came to Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of the Yishuv. Okay, moving on. Everyone okay? Okay, if you want to take a drink break or something, it's fine, or a window break or whatever. Let you guys fight that out. Okay, all right. In terms of the sugi of saying Kriyat Shema Acher Chatzos. Okay, so we know we have the Mishnah. That was not an implication. Whatever you guys want. Okay. The Gemara has a discussion whether or not it's acceptable to say Kriyat Shema after Chatzos. And the Rishonim discuss whether or not a person has to lechatchila try to daven say Kriyat Shema right away, or if he has the prerogative to push it off as long as he says it before Chatzos. And again, what happens after Chatzos passes? And there's 2 days in Rabbeinu Yonah in terms of what a person should do if he taka missed Chatzos. So one opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah is, okay, you can still read Kriyat Shema. Maybe don't say the Birchas Kriyat Shema, because once Chazal imposed the din of Chatzos, Waharchak Adam min Ha'Aveira, so okay, so they were able to uproot the din Drabanan that you read Birchas Kriyat Shema, but they weren't able to uproot the din D'Oraisa that says you read Kriyat Shema all night long, L'chor, until Alos HaShachar. And therefore, it's Kedai to keep on saying Kriyat Shema until Shachar comes. The other opinion of Ben Yonah, however, is that no, Yesh Kol Gad Chacham Lachar Dov Min HaTorah means they can even uproot a mitzvah. And even if you went ahead and said Kriyat Shema after Chatzos, it wouldn't count for anything. And obviously, the opinion that argues under Ben Yonah says that, we never find such a thing. When Chazal are given the kach to be Oker Dov Min HaTorah B'Sheva Taisa, it means they're able to say, don't do X, don't blow shofar on Shabbos. But they're not telling you to actively, they don't necessarily have the koch to actively uproot that mitzvah. They just say, we're going to impose a roadblock. Don't go ahead and do that because there's a chashash total on Shabbos. And Mamela, you won't have the key mitzvah. But it's not that they were able to get into the mitzvah shofar in 613 and say, this one's gone because of Takana Durabba. L'chora, this is a very important Machlokas Rishonim because it has bearing on the din that Tzvi Pesach Frank and all the Achronim in his Tekufa discuss, whether or not a person who hears Tekiyah Shofar on Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah, whether or not it's blown behet or not, is it kedai for him to hear it? Is he going to get a Kiyam HaMitzvah? For Miata, it would depend on what we just discussed. When Chazal came along and said, don't blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and similar examples, did they say that there's mamish no mitzvah, it just doesn't exist anymore on Shabbos that falls out on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? Well, they say, no, don't do it, but if you do it, okay, what can we do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you still get a Kiyam HaMitzvah. And Rabbi Kiveh Gertaka was mitzvah, they like that second tzad, that yeah, you still get a Kiyam HaMitzvah. Whereas Rabbi Chaim, as Rabbi Gershon Zaks quoted him, or Rabbi Gershon Zaks said the Olam quotes Rabbi Chaim, to be precise, said that no, there's no such kunz. And he added that if there's a situation where they're blowing in Mikdash, where they are allowed to blow on Shabbos, what if I was standing outside of Mikdash, so will that work also? Chaim denied it all. And the support to that was a very very interesting diik that the Rav had in Hilchos Shofar. It seems to be that the Ram holds that on Rosh Hashanah Shachalos B'Shabbos, even a Tinok shelo bali dechinuch should not be permitted to blow the shofar, whereas he's allowed to on stam yantiv. And the only explanation for that to be is that Chazal didn't just say, okay, we're going to make a roadblock, don't perform the mitzvah shofar, but they asked kol his askus sheyia with shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shchalios b'Shabbos. And that gives you the impression that it was something much more fundamental in uprooting the mitzvah of shofar and Rosh Hashanah that would side with Reb Chaim's approach that one would not have a kiyum and would not be appropriate to try to be mitzarif himself to the mitzvah of kiyum shofar that's being done, maybe shloka din. Okay, moving on to the inyan of Tosefes Shabbos. Let's make one ha'ara before that. We mentioned earlier Machlokes Rishonim whether or not Yiruenenu, what we say at the end of Myra before Shmona Esrei, is appropriate to say Bizman Azeh that we say a full Shmona Esrei or not, and that hinges on whether or not it's a Shail of Hefsik before Shmona Esrei. Rabbeinu Yonah says that it's not a Hefsik, because since Chazal at the time were Koveya, that Bismanim, when they didn't say Shmona Esrei, that should be a chova to say in its stead. So therefore, the kvius remains, and therefore we're supposed to continue saying it Bisman Hazeh as well. Now, what seems to be implicit in what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that the din of Tefilas Arvis Rishus is real 100% Rishus. I mean, it's mamish not a chiyuv, and therefore there was a period of time when they could do away with it altogether because of whatever concerns they had about davening at night. And that's important because Rabbeinu Yonah brings both opinions in Tefilas HaShachar that Tosas has, whether or not when we say Tefilas HaShachar Rishus, it means Mamash Rishus or it just means Rishus Lagabe other mitzvahs. Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be taking sides in our sugya in the first parak. But even more than that, it's also important to realize that this is Yisodistic in understanding what it means Smichus Gula Tefila. That one might have imagined that Smichus Gula Tefila means I have to make an explicit mention of Geula, and then I daven, with no interruption in between. Rather, the point is that there's a unit called Geula, and there's a unit called Tefillah, and they're supposed to be mitzurv to each other, even if a precise, explicit mention of Geula, of Ga'al Yisrael, is not what immediately precedes the Tefillah itself. And therefore, once Chazal or Mesakein, either Hashkivenu as a Geula Rechta, or Yiruenenu as an extension in the place of Shmona Esrei, so even if there's no explicit Geula at the end before Shmona Esrei begins, it's part of the unit of Geula, and that's all that Smith's Geula L'Tfila requires. Come back to that a little bit later, Mitzvah Shem. Okay, on Amud Beis, based on Amud Beis, the Gemara has all the different opinions about when a person is supposed to be saying Kriya Shema, and when the earliest time is that a person can be saying Kriya Shema. One of the opinions is Misha Kiddush Hayom, and Rashi learns that means the time at which a person has to start observing Shabbos, which is at Shkia, at Bein HaShemashos, whereas Rav Haigon is quoted in the Rajba, holds that it's Tchila Shkia, not because Bein HaShemashos begins, but he holds like Rabbeinu Tam, because that is the beginning of when it is Royal Kaddish Hayom. Dahinu, that even though we go like the Ramah, that the earliest time a person can be Mekabel Shabbos and Erev Shabbos is at Plag, the Rabbeinu Tam people hold that it starts at Shkia. At the Tchila Shkia, that's the first time that you can be Mekabel Shabbos. And that's really what the Ramban says in Torah Sa'adam, and he says it's lo yitachin otherwise, because according to the Ramban, it's lo yal al-das, I should be able to start observing Shabbos and have Isra Malacha while the sun is still in the sky. So therefore the Ramban says the pshar is that once the sun sets, and it's not as obviously the earlier day of Friday as it was before, so then it's yitachin to start observing Shabbos at that point. And the Ramban Shita in general, as we discussed on a number of occasions, is that the Yisod of Tosefes Shabbos is not Hamshachas Kedusha, but rather to append the previous day onto the later day. The source for that is the Ramban doesn't understand how Gaonim could paskin that there's such a thing as Tosefes Tisha B'Av. Bishlam, we have Tosefes Yom Kippurim, because there's a din of Kedushas Yom Kippurim that can be extended to another day, but Tisha B'Av has no Kedushas Hayom. So how can I extend that into another day? So from that Ramban, you get the impression that the extension of a day is mitlatali in the extension of a kedusha. However, once you get to the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, that the Shaar Tzion quotes, you see that it will be acceptable for a different reason, because we're not focusing on the extension of kedusha, but rather taking a day on the calendar and making an appendix to it from the day before as the way that Tosefes of a Yom works. Once you understand like that, so then that sheds light on what we just quoted before from the Ramban and Torah Adam, that the beginning of when I can be Makabel Shabbos and Erev Shabbos is after the sun sets. Because we're saying that the beginning of when I can make Friday part of the calendar day called Shabbos is when there's no Bavusta for Hesiodika way to look in the sky and say that it's clearly still Shabbos. Because once the sun sets, you know, okay, so it's not clearly Friday anymore, so I can say that this day is appended to the day that follows the day of Shabbos afterwards. Question is, what is Ramban going to tell you about after Shabbos is over? How do you have Tosefah Shabbos? What is the guideline for determining that the nighttime after Shabbos has passed can still be appended to the previous day? So in the same way that we have an astronomical event of Shkia Rishona that says, okay, it's not clearly Friday anymore, so we can make this part of Shabbos, so it has to be something at the end of Shabbos as well. So we would have imagined that would be Tseis Kol HaKochavim, La'achar Dalad Mil, because after that point, it has become totally dark. It's not going to become any more dark. So this is the end of when I can still say that it's Shabbos, because all the astronomical events that could happen have already happened. Nevertheless, the Ramban says that the end point of Tosefah Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos is Yitzias Shalosh Kochavim, which is a Shtikl Tamu, and that was Rabbi Sa'ara. The Pesach, we're trying to understand what that means, though, could be the Chakir of Rabbi Chanan in the beginning of Pesachim. Rabbi Chanan asks, what is the Pshat in Tzeisa Kochavim? Is it, Rabbi didn't say it over this way, but I think this is the way the Velt says it over, is it a Simen or a Siba? Is it the Pshat that when three Kochavim come out, so it's a Simen that enough time has passed that the day is over without any question? Or is it a Siba that there's a Shear of Gimel Kochavim that when the Shear appears, does Hayz Laila? This is it. This is the Simen that, this is the Siba of Laila being Nigram Al Yidei three Kochavim being visible. So you'd want to say that according to the Ramban, Shalosh Kochavim is a Siba, that it's a din that the day is no longer Shabbos anymore. Because if you just say that it's a simen, that this is just a representation of the fact that a certain amount of time has passed, so, again, we don't know why that should be the cutoff point after three kochavim have become visible, according to the Ramban. What is it about three kochavim that says, okay, this day is totally over and there's no longer any reason to append it to the previous day? But if you say there's a din, shalosh kochavim, that's the end of the day, so it's a little bit easier to understand, albeit not 100% Miyushuv. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more individual points now as we get closer to the Agadita. The Gemara talks about when a person comes in from the Sada, Raga Likros, Raga Lishnos, whatever it happens to be that is his usual limud. The fact that the Gemara says that if you're Raga Lishnos, you should learn Gemara, so that implies that there's an adifus to learning Tersh Baal Peh at night as opposed to learning Tersh B'chsavet at night, which is what the Sfarim bring from the Zohar. Mishbur has it in Hilchos Ma'ariv, I think, because Moshe Rabbeinu was taught Tersh B'chsavet during the day and Tersh Baal Peh at night, and therefore we should try to follow that as well. Gemara says that if a person doesn't pay attention to Chazal's Gzeiris, for instance, of saying Kriyat Shema before Chatzos, Harach Gadam and Aveira, or even earlier than that, so overall Divrei Chacham is Chayiv Misa. So the pshat in that seems to be that it's Ke'ein, an Isra of Zakin Mamri, which is Chayiv Misa, because the din of Zakin Mamri is that you're Mezalzel B'Divrei Chazal. And Rashi says a similar idea in Gemara and Sota, when it says a person's Mezalzel and Tils Yadayim, Nekar Min HaOlam, the Rebbe Akiva Eiger points out over here that it's a Zilzel and Chacham, because it's not just a pshat a person, you know, he has such a taiva to eat, so he doesn't wait, you know, and he goes ahead and eats without Tils Yadayim, but to do it every single day, you know, Tamid is the Lashon over there, so that implies that he doesn't have any Chashivas to the words of Chazal. And that's why Rashi over there is Mitzayin to us, and Kivegar over here is Mitzayin to that Gemara over there. Okay, Smichas Gula Tefillah. We have a number of explanations as to the significance of what that's all about. The Gemara later on says that the real kiyum for Smichas Gula Tefillah in its ultimate sense is to do it at Hanetzach Hama. What's the pshat? So the Rav said, as we find in the Gemara in Yud Dalet, that when a person has a continuum of Hamshacha, of Kriyat Shema and Tefillah and all the other mitzvahs Hayom, so that is the ultimate representation of Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. And obviously, the best time to make a Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim would be the earliest period of time that you can do that, which would be right at Vasikin, right at Hanetzach Hama. So that's why there's a special adifus to Shema and Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim, Smichas Gula Tefillah, at the very beginning of the day. And this continuum that relates not only Kriyat Shema, but Tefillah as well, through Smichas Gula Tefillah, to Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, has a number of interpretations. Rabbeinu Yonah says one shot might be because it's Meshabit a person, when he realizes that he's in Ever Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meshacher him from Shibun in Mitzrayim. So the next process that flows from that is the Avod of Tefillah. Once he has this hakara that he's the Evan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adon. Another possibility might be Mishum Bitachon, that in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, and he did Kriyas Yamsuf, v'chulei, so too I can be Boteach, that Hashem will be Mimalei, my Bakashas and Shmona Esrei. Again, both are expressions of how Bein Kriyas Shema and Tefillah express Kabbalah's Omal HaShemayim. Or, I don't know, Rabbeinu Yonah is really only saying it as an explanation of the significance of Smichas Gula Tefillah, but perhaps we can try to extend it for our purposes as well. Rabbi added to the Rabbeinu Yonah about Bitachon that we already said in earlier shirim that the Ikar Yisod of Tefillah is a Hakar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only place to turn in order for us to have a Milui of our Bakushas, and therefore maybe that's what Rabbeinu Yonah means as well, that part of the recognition of what we get from remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim is expressed in our action of tefillah, which is a recognition of the fact that Hashem is the only one who can be memali our bakashas. The Rif seems to imply that Pesukei Dezimra is part of the matir of Sidur Shvachim Lefnei Tefillah, which the Gemara in the 5th parak talks about, and Rashi over there in the 5th parak equates Ashrei and the Geula of Arvis together, which implies that just like the Pesukei Dezimra could be a Hagdama of Shvachim before Tefillah, so too the Birchas HaGeula are a Hagdama to the Tefillah at Ma'ariv as well. And therefore one can understand Smichas Gula Tefillah as part of the Matir of Tefillah as well. And that's a Vayter, an expression of Kabbalah's Omal HaShemayim, based on what the Rav explained, that in the same way we find that Tefillah is Omid Lefnei Hashem, and a Shikr who's Einu Yochel Adabr Lefnei HaMelech is Aser to Davin, because Hainu Hach, he's got to be able to be Omid Lefnei Hashem. That's an expression of the fact that Tefillah, in a very unique way, more than any other mitzvah, has to be part of the has to be within the framework of Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, and not for a person who's unable to express that Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, because how could it be that I'm going to go before a king and openly express that I have no regard for his sovereignty? If I'm going to speak to the king, I have to be able to acknowledge that he is the king and that his malchus is kayemis. So therefore, Kabbalah Samach Shemaim before tefillah expresses that, and that's why Reb Sadia Gaon says that the Averis that we do the rest of the day is poches from tefillah more than anything else, because in order to be Omid Lefnei HaMelech and to acknowledge his malchus, we have to live a life that in general acknowledges our Kabbalah of his malchus. Okay, we spoke about tefillah arichta. We'll come back to that. Okay. A little more of the Agarita. The Gemara says that the reason Chazal were Masakin Ashrei, Tehil David, before Shemona Esrei is Beitarti. Number one, it has the Aleph base to it. Number two, it has Poseches Yodecha. So the Meshech Chacham explained that those are two reasons that converge into one. That it's not just time that we recognize Poseches Yodecha, but we do so through the Aleph base. The Aleph base represents the Seder of the Teva and the Seder of the Bria, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamzi all the things that he wants to happen in the course of history behind the scenes. And that is an even greater Shevach in a certain sense than the biggest Nisim Gluyim that a person can possibly imagine. Because it's like the contractor gets all the work done on time as if it's no sweat. So the Mila of Ashrei is the fact that not only do we acknowledge Hashem providing all the needs of the world, but he does so in a way where we don't even recognize his Hashkacha openly, but it's woven into the fabric of day-to-day life. Okay, we discussed before the Gemara tells us the Hashkivenu is a Gula Arichta. The question is, what's Shaychus? Even if we say that it's part of the unit of Geula, because it was Nitkan with Gal Yisrael, but where do the words of Hashkivenu make reference to that? So the Rav explained, because Geula Be'etzem is Kabbalah's Omach Shemayim. That's why we say in the middle of Geula, Machusa Baratzon Kiblu Aleihem. So the same is true about Kriya Shema Lamita. When we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to sleep now and we're being mafkir on Neshamas, Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is a great expression of Kabbalah Samach Shemaim as well. That's why Abaya says, Dafka Talmud Chacham doesn't have to say Kriya Shema Almita because he has a protection, has to at least say the Pasuk of Rachmei of Biyadcha Afkid Ruchin. Of all the Pasukim he could possibly choose, he chose that one because it is an expression of entrusting your Neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is also an expression of Kabbalah Samach Shemaim. And Hashkiveinu is a similar expression of trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect us during the night, and that's why it is Mitzurv Tzku Ula at Myriv. Okay, if you look in the Gemara, so the Gemara seems to have separate psukim, separate references in the pasuk to Torah Shebachsav, V'chamesh Chumshei Torah, interrupted by Mishnah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The pasuk says, V'edna l'chos ha'luchos ha'evan v'atorah v'amitzvah sher kasavti l'horosam, Luchos Eilos Ersedibros, Torah Zemikra, Amitzvah Zumishna, Shekasati Eilun Vim Ksuvim. So you see, the Torah and Vim Ksuvim are not put together with each other as one unit. So we find a number of Chilukim that expresses that that distinction. Tosas and Temura says that the Isser of Dvarim Shebachsav Yeta Rashi Lomar Baal Peh doesn't apply to Nach. We also can suggest that maybe the din that we find in the Baal Tanya, that a person is Mekayim Mitzvah Talmud Torah when he reads words on the Chumash, even when he doesn't understand that, could be it's not true if you're reading Sukkim from Nach. Why would we possibly make a distinction? So the Brisker Rav's understanding is because the Isser of Dvarim Shebichsav Yeter Rashi La'omrim Baal Peh is from a pasuk of Elu HaDvarim. So Elu HaDvarim is said specifically L'gabei Chumash, where it's located, going on the Pesukei HaTorah. And when it comes to Nevi'im Ksuvim, it's not Nechol in the Pasuk of Elu HaDvarim. Another pshat from Rav Huttner is that Torah Shebaal Peh could taka be, I'm sorry, Nevi'im Ksuvim could taka be Torah Shebaal Peh that's nitnali kosev, but in Chal Hashem it's really Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore it's mutter to be written down. And that chiluk might be merumas through the way that the Gemara first mentions Torah, then mentions Mishnah, then talks about Nevi'im Ksuvim, which might group Nevi'im Ksuvim together with Mishnah, with Torah Shebaal Peh. In terms of the kiyum of learning Nach without any Havana, so that might have to do with the discussion between the Radak and the Malbim as to whether or not the words of a Navi are the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you say these words. Or it could be that the Navi is given some sort of vision, some sort of nevuah, and it's up to the Navi to say it in his own words. Some people say that that's a pshat in the Gemara, that they offer their own specific verbalization of whatever it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to them. So if you say that it's not the words of the Navi it's, himself, and it's not Shechina Medaber Mitov Grono Shel Oso Navi, then it's possible that when I'm saying those words, I'm not going to get a kiyum without Havana, because there's nothing inherent in the words themselves that are Dvar Hashem. Whereas if it is the Navi speaking the same words that Hashem told him, so then you can tie it to Dvar Hashem, and therefore I get a kiyum of Talmud Torah even when I don't understand them. And this essentially is also machlokas between the Brisker Rav and the Rav. Based on the Gemara in Megillah, which seems to say that a person doesn't have to understand, it does say, Gemara explicitly says, that you don't have to understand every single word in Megillah's Esther. So either the pshat in that is, because really, Nevi'im and Ksuvim, let's say Megillah's Esther, is not a mitzvah's kriya. It's not a din that I have to read these words per se, like kriya shma. It's a mitzvah per sumi nisa. The way the Chazal were misakin per sumi nisa over here is to read from the Megillah, but it's not a din kriya. The Brisker Rav says that because if it really was a din kriya, then you have to understand every word. Why? He's obviously assuming that Nevi'im and Ksuvim, you have to understand the words for it to count. Whereas the Rav said, no. If you look in the Gemara over there, the Gemara says that it's a mitzvah's kriya, upir sumei nisa, which implies two separate things. That really, in terms of the mitzvah's kriya, you don't have to understand every word. Because we're talking about Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and Nevi'im and Ksuvim are just like Torah. They don't need to have a havan for every single word. And what about all the people who don't understand? Okay, but there's a chiluk of Pesumei Nisa that they'll also get besides Mitzvah's Kriya, which is Mekuyim, even if you don't understand every single word. Okay, when the Gemara says that Etna L'chos Aluchos Ha'evan, Gemara says that all the Torah was Kulam Nitnu L'Moshe Misinai, everything was given to Moshe, even though in, you know, we only have a Masorah specifically of what we find in the Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything was given to Moshe, even the Mishnah, even the things that came later, the Gemara. Either the Pshat is because Maariv Chiyah says everything can be deduced, and therefore it's latent in what Moshe was given, or no, maybe the Pshat is that Moshe was given everything literally, but he was instructed not to include all that into the Masorah. Okay, the Gemara makes a clear reference to the Mezikin Bedil in Heimenu, through a person who says Kriyash Malamita, implies like Tosos on Daf Beis, who says that really is the Matar of Kriyash Malamita, to protect from Mezikim, not like Rashi over there says the point of Kriyash Malamita is to be Makayim Yer Etzem Mitzvah Kriyash Ma after Tes Kochavim. Gemara talks about Yifashvesh B'maisav, Yimashmesh B'maisav. Misos Yashar makes a distinction that Yifashvesh is to look for Averus, and Yimashmesh is to look into your mitzvahs and see if maybe there's Chesronos, maybe they're not totally Lishma, maybe they're not done B'shlemos, within the mitzvah themselves. Nefesh HaChayim says that that's the pshat in Ein Tzadik B'Aretz, Sher Yaseh Tov V'lo Yechta. Doesn't mean the way we understand it, Sher Yaseh Tov, and he won't also do Averus. It means, Sher Yaseh Tov V'lo Yechta, even the Tzadik will still have a little bit of Chet in his Tov. Ein Tzadik B'Aretz, Sher Yaseh Tov V'lo Yechta, within the Tov. Okay, the Gemara says that if you can't find any reason, Mida, Kenegan Mida, for your Yisurin, you should be told in Bittul Torah. So the Vilna Gaon explains that the pshat, and that is because you didn't learn well enough. If you learn well enough, so you know, you'd be mekayim all the mitzvahs properly, and you wouldn't have yisurim coming on you. That's why any yisurim are because of bittul Torah. Nefesh HaChayim says normally yisurim come mida keneged mida. If I do an aver an aver with a specific aver chas v'sham, so there'll be yisurim on that aver. But if I can't come up with an explanation based on mida keneged mida, so then I can be tola on bittul Torah. Why? Because the Yisurim that come for Bittul Torah are unlike the Yisurim that come for any other Averis, and they can come and affect any part of the body of a person, so therefore when there's no other explanation that I can come up with, I have to be told on Bittul Torah. Yisurim Shel Ava, Rashi seems to say that the Pshat is that you're getting Yisurim without any Avon, to be Mar B'Bishchar and Olam Haba, even though the Gemara seems to later imply that Yisurim Shel Ava do come in conjunction with Kapara. It could mean what Rashi's saying is that the kavan and the to'elis of that is mitoch ava, not mitoch midas hadin. And the Ramban's understanding of Yisrin Shel Ava is quoted by the Art Scroll, I think in Shar Gemul, not sure, is that the matara of Yisrin Shel Ava is to bring a person to a higher level of ruchnis, that it's more than just giving him the Yisurim to give him schar for enduring the Yisurim, but also to be mezakech his nefesh, which was affected negatively by the performance of Averis. You're saying you wouldn't have to yitla al bittul Torah, then you'd know what you're doing wrong, then you'd understand. I hear, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I hear.
You are still doing chatam because you didn't.
Right, but you have to learn more in order to be mevar what exactly your chisron was. Okay, shkoyach. Thank you, Aaron. Sorry. Okay, the Gemara has a drasha that says chesed Zeo Gmilas Chasadim. Chor, that's Davar Pashut. What's the Chiddush of Chesed Zeo Gmilas Chasadim? So the answer might be, like the Menezer, that the word Chesed itself just means an extreme. Whenever we find it in unusual contexts that are not our normal expectation, it's because there's some sort of extreme in whatever misdeed or deed we're referring to. Chesed is used to refer to the Avodah Zarah of the people on the boat with Yonah. Chesed is referred to, is used for certain types of arayas. So it's an extreme, but not that the word be'etzem means chesed as we use it colloquially. Okay, Rashi says in the Gemara about halon v'halohu that bizman she'ena yovel noheg, we still have shiluach mitzorayim from bate arei choma. And the Rishonim ask on Rashi, don't we say that dinim of shiluach are part of Batei Erechoma, and therefore when there's no Batei Erechoma because there's no Yovel, so Shiluach should also disappear. So the Pshat, according to Rashi, is going to be that Enachanam, there's Dine Geula of repurchasing Batei Erechoma, and that's Takatali in the Zman of Yovel. However, Kedusha Batei Erechoma is not Tali in Yovel per se, rather it's Tali in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And Batei Erechoma gained their Kedusha through the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. We taka paskin that Kedusha is not Batla. Kedusha Shani is not Batla nowadays, and therefore Shiluach Mitzorayim would still apply. Maisa with Rabbi Yochanan, that he was crying about his own death. He said that that's good to cry about me dying. So Rabbi Nissen Alpert said, Lagaber Moshe, that it was a valid bechia to have an understanding of the fact that the next generation will not be able to recreate the same milos and Torah that the previous generations had. We had a stira. Mishabura seems to say in one place that the din of Shlo Yehi Davar Chotzitz Beino Levein Akir in Tefillah is a din of Chatzitza, like we find by Avoda and Karbonis. That's the way the Mechaber seems to say it in Tzadiches. But in another place, the Mishabura in Simon Tzadi, I think, seems to say that it's a din of Kavana, that you'll have better Kavana if there's nothing between you and the wall when it's possible to do so. Gemara talks about Tzufuncha Tamali Bitnam, Gemara about which way your bed should face. Your bed should face north to south, rather than east to west, because of the Shekhinah. It applies either to a person who's sleeping without any clothes on, a person who's sleeping together with his wife. But Rabbi Yonah says, in either case, it's only Zecher Ba'alma. It's not shot in the Pasuk, but it's meant that when I get to that Pasuk, when I'm learning Nach, so I'll read and I'll remember this Halacha. That's Rabbi Yonah. According to Ridvan Rosh Hashanah, Ridvan Rosh Hashanah says that every time we find an Asmachta in Chazal, really, it has some sort of divine source. It's not something that Chazal just came up with and gave us a mnemonic device to remember, but rather, kan hi'ira Torah, that this is a good place, Chazal, for you to make a takana. And the mashmos in Ritva over there is, there's two reasons why I have to say that. Number one, because we should not assume that the Torah is has any shortcomings, but rather, Torah Sashem Tamima, everything's included in the Torah, and Chazal didn't need to be mechadish milibam, new things, but rather everything is nechlal in the tziva the Chacham received. But he also seems to say that it would be an abusal of the rights of the Chazal to be mefarish psukim if they're going to be mecharish pshatim and psukim that aren't really pshat in order to make these zecher ba'almas. So it sounds a little bit mechudish. The Ritva is going to argue on that Rabbein Yonah, and even more far-reaching, the Ritva apparently would hold that there is a real pshat. And every time we find that Chazal had a way to interpret, you know, Tzfuncha Tamali Bitnam as referring to which way a person's bed should face, as being pshat in the pasuk, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to get around this problem that the Ritva mentions of giving a bad pshat in the pasuk, which is a violation of Chazal's power. Okay, the Gemara talks about it. If you wait for your friend to finish davening before you leave shul, so that you accompany him, and the Gemara gives bad news for a person who doesn't wait, and if you do wait, so you get zochel chol brachas halol. So it's a little strange, you know. I'm giving the guy yashikayach because he said thank you. No, he always has to say thank you. There's no chiddush to doing what you're supposed to do. Elamai, you see, chaz de Hashem is that Kadosh Baruch Hu in his system of schar va'onish gives schar even to something that anyway you might have had to do without you know, just from the fact that you didn't do wrong is also a zchus for a person's merit, and that might explain why it is you know, they say Baal Shem Tov learned that a person wouldn't be able to do any mitzvahs if not the fact Kodesh Baruch Hu helped him. So how come we get schar for our mitzvahs? Hashem's really helping him. So either the answer is anachanami, you only get schar for whatever you contributed, or no, part of the midah of chesed is that you also get schar for what you didn't do wrong in the same time that you're doing the good. Kerevel kim yishpot, mashmos and Rashi and the Rambam, is that even if a person has a right, if you pass in this way, to be done yechidi, a yachin mumcha can pass in shilas chosh mishpot on his own, nevertheless it might not have the din of a bezdin. Bezdin is only when you have gimel, and hashor sashchina sounds like in this Gemara when it's gimel, when it's an elokim. But if I'm dan yechidi, so it could be I don't have that special maila. Gemara talks about nenas v'losa mitzvah yistom makabel schar. I frek the ger rebbes. Don't we say margul b'pume d'bnei adam that ein dover omer b'tnei ratzon, that if there's anything I want to do and I really want to do it, you know, I should be able to do it. So therefore, if it's nenas v'losa mitzvah, implication is that you didn't really want to do it so much. So the answer is no. This is the answer of the one of the ger rebbes also, I think. That if, anachanam, the only thing a person really puts into every mitzvah he does is the ratzon he wants to put into it, and whether or not he's matzliach, taka is going to be based on if Hashem allows him to be matzliach, similar to what we said from the Baal Shem Tov before. So therefore, be'etzem, a person's only contribution is the ratzon. So if nenas v'asa mitzvah, you're still makabel schar because you did everything that a person really can do in order to make his chelik in performing a mitzvah. Pasukim nishba Hashem b'yamino v'zro uzo is good for what we have in the Gemara in Shavuos about Nikitas Chepetz, that the Gemara starts off by assuming that Sefer Torah is necessary for Nikitas Chepetz, and then says that Tefillin is also valid for Nikitas Chepetz when you're making a Shavuah. So it's very appropriate with the Gemara dashes over here that Nishba Hashem, Hashem is making a Shavuah on a Nikitas Chepetz, because the Gemara says Bimino Zu Torah and Uzo is Zu Tefillin. Okay, Tefillin Shabarosh, Gemara says, is from the Pasuk of Shem Hashem Nikra Elecha. Nikra Alecha, Rashi says, because of Rov Shem Shemayim is written on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, which obviously includes the Dalid of the Ritzuas, in addition to the Shin that's written on the Bias Gufa. Tosas asks on Rashi that no, the Dalid does not have the same status of a Shin, and it's not considered Rov Shem Shemayim Ksuvim on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, and therefore the Gemara in Shabbos that says Toras Hashem Beficha, that everything that's used to make tefillin has to be from something that you're allowed to put in your mouth, it says it doesn't apply to a dalet. So what's the kasha on Rashi? What do you see from there that tells you that dalet on tefillin shel rosh is not part of the Shem Hashem? So the Rav and the Brisker Rav explained that what Rashi and Tosis and the Rambam are all arguing about over here is whether or not the dalet that's made out of the knot on your tefillin shel rosh, is that a tzuras hakesher? Is that just there's a knot, and the knot has to be made in the shape of a dalet, or is it a tzuras haos? That the reason you're making that dalet over there is because there's a ksiva. This dalet has a din ksiva to it in the same way that the shin has a din ksiva to it, b'tzuras haos, not just as the shape that the knot is supposed to take. That explains why Tosis says that you see in the Gemara Shabbos that the dalet is not part of Toras Hashem Beficha, because Toras Hashem Beficha is the Torah, the Ksiva, the Nusach of the words of Torah itself, not the Dalet, because the Dalet isn't really any word, it's not even part of a word, it's not a letter, it's just a Kesher. So therefore, it doesn't have that status, and also expresses what the Gemara Megillah tells us, that it doesn't have a din of Kedusha, it has a din of only Tashmisha Kedusha, dahinu the Dalet and the Ritzua, because if it actually is Torah Gufa, if it was a Tzuras HaKsiva, Tzuras HaOth, then it would also be Kedusha itself. It wouldn't just be Tashmishe Kedusha. And that's why the Rambam says that the reason a Nachri can't sell Tefillin is because the Shin of Tefillin is Halacha Moshe Misinai. Aye, the Dalet is also Halacha Moshe Misinai? Yeah, but only the Shin has a Din Ksiva to it. And the reason a Nachri would be out of the Parsha of Tefillin is Kol She Yeshno Be Ksiva Yeshno Basiyah. Kol She Eino the Ksiva Eino Ba'asiya. So he's only exempted, only out of the parsha of Ksiva, which relates to the Shin, because the Shin has a Din Ksiva Shavo, but the Ram holds the Dal doesn't have a Din Ksiva Shavo, so therefore the Ram only says the problem for Nachri selling is the Shin, because the Shin is only Ksiva, and it's Kol She Yeshno B'Ksiva. Mashenka the Dalet is a separate Din about Tzuras HaKesher, and therefore is irrelevant to the discussion in the Rambam. And Halacha L'maisa, this is brought in by the Machs Eliyahu and other Achronim, in terms of Lego on Shabbos. Because Lego on Shabbos presents a shaila of ksiva when it's not ink on a cloth. So do we say that that's b'chla ksiva? According to Rashi, it sounds like you can imagine ksiva which is not dio on a cloth, because the dalet I have on my tefillin is also a letter, according to Rashi. It has a tzuras haos without it being on a cloth. Okay. We said the Kol HaRav Ragi Alav LeBeis HaKnesses, and he doesn't show up because Baruch is particularly angry at him. Pshat is because once a person reaches certain milus in Avodas Hashem, so Hashem has higher expectations of him. That's what the Netziv says in the Pasuk of Yeh Lachem, Lachem Kodesh L'Gabi Shabbos, that Lachem, it will be holy to the extent that you are capable of making it holy. And if a person is holding by a higher darga of what he's able to accomplish in Kedusha Shabbos, so then that becomes part of his requirement to be Mekadesh Shabbos. Okay, weiter in this idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu's koes, if a person, it's on the other sugya. Kadosh Baruch Hu's koes, if he shows up to shul and the people who daven there had not yet showed up to shul. The Ramban in Gittin quotes this Gemara as the rationale why Rabbi Elazar was able to sell his to free his slave in order to be mitzayif him to the minyan. I tefillah b'tzibur pasha is only dinder abanan. So why would the need for tefillah b'tzibur d'rabanan obviate the iser d'oraisa of l'olam b'hem tavodu, which says that I'm not allowed to free my slave? So one answer the Ramban says is that no, there's a tzorach over here. In the same way that the Isra of Losachanim is mutter when there's a tzorach, so too the Isra of Lo'olam Behem Tavod is mutter when there's a tzorach. Another possibility the Ramban says, no, it's midin dechia, that the halach of Tul B'tzibor beats out the Isser of L'ol Mehem Tavodu. So this, L'chor, you can only say, if you learn like we explained in the past, based on Reb Chaim, that Kiyum of Inyana is Doraisa, even according to the Ramban. Even though the Ramban says there's no mitzvah Doraisa to daven every single day, but there's a Kiyum Doraisa. And not only is there a Kiyum Doraisa to daven, there's a Kiyum Doraisa in Tfil B'tzibor. And if that's correct, so either the Kiyum of Tfil B'tzibor is good enough to beat out the Isser Doraisa of Lo'ol Mehem Tavodu. Perhaps if you hold that Asei Dochalos Asei, the Asei is good enough when it's a Kiyum Asei. But even if you don't say like that, our Gemara that the Ramban brings, that there's a Kas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a Doraisa Dika Kas, Rabbi said, that has that force to beat out even another Isser Doraisa of Lo'ol Mehem Tavodu. Wait, left. Unless I said something incorrect. Okay, in terms of the Godel Schar Kvias Makom, Rabbeinu Yonah seems to explain it as a two-way street, that if a person has enough Anova and Ahava of Tfila and Diktuk in Mitzvah's Tfila, so he's going to be Medaktik Ad Kdei Kach, it'll be Koveya Mitzvah, Koveya Makom for his Tfila as well. And it works the other way, that if a person is Medaktik Ad Kdei Kach, to be Koveya Makom for Tfila, so he will have the Hashpa of that Maisa impact on his own anivus and his own avodas Hashem in general, similar to the way we find in the Chinuch, that not only is it that achrei hapulos nimshachos halavavos, but the verse is correct also when a person thinks in a certain way and acts in a certain way, that will be mashpia on his whole framework and his whole perspective on and his machshavas. Running on Shabbos is ke'ena achil Shabbos, the Gemara seems to imply. Smuchen for what Reb Chaim learned, that even Machamer, even something which is not, you know, Mamish Chiv Skila, can also be Chil Shabbos to make a person into a Mumer, even though our Gemara doesn't mean it literally. The fact that Cholot Elio of a Katle, you see that Elio came along and was very strict in the Gemara, even though we wouldn't be able to exist in such a, you know, with such ramifications for our own actions, that's obviously a function of the degree of Hashras Hashchina that we enjoy, and even though we would love to have more Hashras Hashchina, and we view it as an onus that we don't, in a certain sense it's also a chesed, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us, Bezus Hashem, to reach the mile where we can handle the implications of such close Hashras Hashchina. Okay, Beinu Yonah has a different dais when a person's davening on the eastern wall, outside of the shul, and the tzibur is davening inside. Is it better for him to face Eretz Yisrael, where everyone else is facing, or is it better for him to turn towards the Aron Kodesh that everyone else is facing inside the shul? And the Riyaz Zakin holds you face the Aron Kodesh. And we explained, based on the Rav, that the Yisod of Kedushas Migdash comes from the Aron, and Hu Adin, in its stead, the Yisod of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, is in the Aron Kodesh. So in the same way that when I daven, I'm daven towards the mikdash, the hainu, the Aron Shabo, so in my mikdash ma'at, I daven towards the Aron Kodesh Shabo, even if it is benigud, davening towards Eretz Yisrael. Because even Eretz Yisrael, it comes out, derives its kedusha from the mikdash, which itself is essentially deriving the kedusha from the Aron Kodesh, which is inside of it. Mentioned the maimer of Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, that all the hashpa of Olam Hazeh comes through the Evan Shasiya, as a hemshech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhag in Bereishis, when he created the whole world from the Evan Shasiya. Therefore, it's mistaber that we should point ourselves towards the Makom, the Aron Kodesh. Very interesting tshuva in Rav Sternbach, I think it's in Chelek Gimel, Simen Lamed Tes, or something like that, regarding what people nowadays, if you go to the Kotel, some people tie in, I shouldn't daven straight ahead, I should daven a little bit north, because that's where Kodesh Kedoshim was, because we have this assumption that the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Evan Shasiya, is under the Dome of the Rock, the Gold Dome on Har Bais. Rav Shlomo talks about over there why that might just be a faulty rumor. It's really not correct altogether that, in fact, the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mesabev Dafka, that nothing was built on top of the Evan Shasiya, and all the Goyim were fooled, and really we've been davening the right way all this time by davening straight ahead towards the Kotel. It's really fascinating. He has a Moifus from the Belzer Rebbe, I think, also over there. Ein Shem. Belzer Rebbe was able to like draw a picture of the Kotel where the Makom Mikdash was, and Belzer Rebbe was never in Eretz Yisrael. Fully. Okay. Gemara says that if you're not Mismeh Chasam Rukala, so you're over B'chamisha Kolos. Marsha says the Chamisha Kolos are the five different sounds a person makes with his mouth, and that bolsters what Rashi said before, that the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam Rukala is dafka like the Dibor. I guess that means not only dancing and whatever, but something vocal too. Vishvil Zen Nivra Zeh, Rashi says, and that brought us to a whole Yisod based on the Chinuch. Sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu can create entire populations and nations with the intention of making one good person come out of that whole system. The Rambam Pirush Mishnayos and Nakdama implies a similar idea that Hashem has all the Amaratzim in the world just to provide all the physical needs for the Talmid HaChacham so they can learn without those Tirchas, to provide a social network for people. Three Perushim in Baruch, either it means a Hillel, a praise, or it means like a Brecha, that Kadosh Baruch is overflowing with Bracha, and really when we say Baruch, it's like Hashem, you are Chanon, you are Rachem, I mean you are the one who performs these actions that reflect these Midas towards us. Or the Nefesh HaChaim's Pshat of Bracha, of Baruch, means that we facilitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability, Kaviyachal, to give Bracha to us. When we say Baruch, we say you, Hashem, are given the power to be mevarech us through our bracha. You don't say divrei tanan chumim b'meisom mutal b'lefanav. Bilam was yodea das elyon. He couldn't even know das behema. So the pshat is he had big kochos. He could have done anything with his kochos, but since he was so shakua in rishus, so the only way that he could possibly focus his powers was in kilul of acherim. We said that Bilam was machbid to see Klal Yisrael when he made his klala, because l'havdil tzdoma to the din we find later that a person is mevakish rachamim on someone befanav, he doesn't have to say his name. Rega ba'apo, the implication of the Gemara is that rega, the answer of the Gemara is rega, he had enough time to say one syllable, dahinu rega, which Tosa says is kalem, the Marsha says, and the story with the Kusi later on, when he was giving him problems, he couldn't say Kalehu, but he could have said Yomus, because that would have been the one syllable. Okay, and the final sugya we did was Kriyas HaTorah. We'll finish in just a couple minutes, please, Nether. Rabbeinu Yonah talks about the Gemara's Teku. The Gemara says, am I allowed to leave Ben Psukka L'Psukka? The Gemara says, it's a Teku. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Teku D'Oraisa L'Chumra. Kriyas HaTorah, Old Din of Kriyas HaTorah is only Din D'Rabbanan. The answer is, because Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that Kavod HaTorah is Doraisa, so therefore I have to be Makban in Kavod HaTorah. And we find a similar distinction in the Gemara Megillah between Amida, standing up during Kriyas HaTorah, versus Kriyas HaMegillah. That it's only required by Torah, not by Megillah, Pashas is, because that's an expression of Kavod HaTorah, which is Din Doraisa. And Bein the Bach, Bein the Magen Avram, who argue whether or not Amida is Ma'akeh B'di'evit by laning, I know if I laned and I didn't stand up, do I have to go lane again? They both agree that Kavod HaTorah is Doraisa. Question is, were Chazal Misakin that Din of Kriyas HaTorah, which includes in it a Kavod HaTorah, should be bound up, you know, as one unit, that Ad Kedei Kach, that E-Efshar, that I can be Mekayim a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah B'Sibor when I was Mezalzel in Kedusha and the Kavod HaTorah. Another pshat in the Rabbeinu Yonah, why he says Teiko D'Oraisa L'Chumra, could be because we darshan in the Gemara in Sota that the Isser to speak during Kriyas HaTorah is Medivri Kabbalah, and L'Chumra leaving in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah is no worse than speaking in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. And a suffix in Medivri Kabbalah, according to Uri Evan and other Achronim, is also a Din D'Oraisa. Okay, the Gemara says that Rav Sheshes was Mahadar Ape, and he didn't listen to the Kriyas HaTorah. And there's a whole bunch of explanations in the Rishonim why that was. Either he was learning quietly, so the Isser of speaking during Kriyas HaTorah doesn't apply when you're quiet, or there were another 10 people listening, or it was Torasum Naso. If we say Torasum Naso, which is the pshat the Rif has, so that might be similar to what the Yushalmi says, that a person who's Torasum Naso only has to be, I'm sorry, does not even have to be Mafsik for Kriyashma. The Bavli says he has to be Mafsik Kriyashma. Yushalmi says you don't have to be Mafsik for Kriyashma. Why? Because Haishinan Vahaishinan. Kriyashma is just more learning, and if he's already learning all day, he doesn't have to be Mafsik to learn more. So we don't hold like that, because we hold Kriyashma is also Kabbalah Zalmach Shmaiv, not just the Kiyam and Talmud Torah. But if you hold like the Yushalmi, and even according to the Bavli, there is Biyasod Hadavar Kriyashma Din of Shinon, and therefore, if I'm Torah someone else, I don't have to be mafsik for another mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So therefore, Kriyas HaTorah is just another mitzvah of Talmud Torah B'tzibor, so there's no requirement for me to interrupt if I'm already Torah someone else. That'll also explain an answer to the Ibn Ezel's kasha in the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah. Rambam says that Megillah is docha Talmud Torah, kavul chomer to other mitzvahs. What do you mean kavul chomer to other mitzvahs? Usually, other mitzvahs are docha Talmud Torah. So if it's docha Talmud Torah, Megillah is docha Talmud Torah, it's not a raya that it's docha shar mitzvahs. Oh, but if you say the pshat is that Megillah is really a keem of Talmud Torah, because it was nitkan b'toras kriyas kisvei kodesh, that's why we make a bracha on it of likra Megillah. So therefore, it comes out that if a mitzvah of Shinon, of Kriyas HaTorah, is Docha Talmud Torah, so certainly it's Docha other mitzvahs. Because if it has the power to even knock out another mitzvah which is identical to it, so you see the force that Chazal imposed when they were masaking Kriyas HaMegillah, that it should even be Docha other mitzvahs. And the final discussion we had was the question of whether or not the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas Tzibur or a Chovas Yachid. And that stems from the other opinion in the Rishonim, which is the Tosfos and Sota, that the reason Rav Sheshes didn't have to listen to Kriyas HaTorah was because he was blind. He was a Saginar. The question is, why is that a Ptur? So Pashas is, because Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas Tzibur. If it's a Chovas Tzibur, so the pshat is that it's not that each one of us have to read the Torah, and when one person reads, so it's like each one of us are reading. No, it's a din that one person reads and everyone is mitzurf to him. And therefore, the mitzvah essentially is to hear him, not to read. He's reading for everybody. So therefore, our mitzvah is not to read, our mitzvah is to hear. So if that's correct, okay, I'm sorry. That's one cheshbon. But in terms of understanding why Rav Sheshes was potter, Rav Sheshes was a saginar, what good does that do for us? So according to Rav Sheshes, you have to say, number one, that it was a chovas yachid. Once you say it's a chovas yachid, then it's possible to say that it's a mitzvah kriya. The flip side of what we just said. Because if it's a mitzvah yachid, it means that every single one of us b'etzem has to read. And therefore, it's one person who's reading, and he's reading for everybody else. But Rav Sheshes, if he's blind, he's not allowed to read, because it's Devarim Shebachsav, Iyata Rashay La'omrim Bal Peh. And if that's the case, so he was exempted from the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, because in the same way Shagas Aryeh says that a person who is a mute doesn't have a din of Shomei Ka'ona, you can't read and I'll hear and it'll be as if I read if I don't have the physical capacity to read, so too Rav Sheshes, even if you're reading for me, and Shomei Ka'ona would say that it's as if I'm reading now, but it's also for me to do that Kriya, because I'll be din, since he's a blind person, he wasn't able to read it. You have to know Tosfos about Eis Lasos Lashem, that maybe a blind person can read out Eis Lasos Lashem. Okay, Eis Ladon. Okay, anyway, the final point in Kriyas HaTorah is Reb Chaim Shita, that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas Yachid. How do you get that? Because Machlokes between the Baal Mor and the Ramban is whether or not Megillah Shlo Bezmana, Gemara says, is with Asara, is that Ma'akev? Baal Mor says, no, it's not Ma'akev. If you didn't have Asara, it's also okay. Why? Because the Mishnah that lists all the things that need Asara doesn't mention Kriyas HaTorah. And the Ramban says, no, it could be that that Mishnah that lists all the things that you need 10 people for is only talking about Chovos HaTzibor. But Megillah is a Chovos Yachid, but it needs an audience of 10 people. It needs an audience of 10 people. So the Pashtus is that according to the Baal HaMor, the Etzem Megillah is a Chovas Tzibur. I'm sorry. I messed up this. We're okay. Sorry about that. That whole discussion was talking about Mitzvah's Megillah. However, Kriyas HaTorah is found in that Mishnah that says you require 10. So therefore, the Ramban who says that don't bring me a raya about Megillah, because that Mishnah is only talking about Chovas Tzibur. Kriyas HaTorah is in that Mishnah. So the Ramban is obviously saying that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas Tzibur. However, the Ran, when he quotes the Ramban, says it a little differently. He says that Mishnah, that list, the things that need 10 people, Chovas Tzibur says, these are things that are Chovas Tzibur, that either need Ruban Chayavin or Kulam Chayavin. What's the difference between Ruban Chayavin or Kulam Chayavin? If you say Ruban Chayavin, so Be'etzim you're saying, it's a Chovas Tzibur. It's a Chovas Tzibur. The Hainu, that I need 10 people, and anytime there's 10 people here, so I can say, since there's a cheft of a tzibur, ruba kukulo, that if most of them are chayev, all of them are chayev, I'll be din. The same way that you have a kos, that is majority of the way drunk, so it's a rov kos makes ki'ilu, I drank the whole kos. Because you can only say rovo kukulo, Reb Chaim explained, when you have a rov of a whole. But when you have rov of not the whole thing, let's say I had a piece of nevela, and I only have a rov of kezias. You don't say rov of kezias is, you know, rovo kukulo. Might be other reasons why you don't say that as well, but you need the whole to say that I have rov of the whole. You have rov dayanam on a bezdin when they're all present. But if I only have two dayanim there, I can't say ruba kukulo. If I have three and two of them say one way, one and the other one says the other way, so then I can say ruba kukulo, it's like they're all there. So who had in our case, if I have 10 people for a tzibur, and the Ran is saying, according to Ramban, that I need all 10 people to be chayiv, so be'etzim I'm saying that there's no tzibur here, it's not a cheftz of a tzibur, a cheftz of tzibur is irrelevant. Each person is individually chayiv to do Kriya Satorah. And if each person is individually chayv to do Kriya Satorah, you need every single one of those people to be chayv. And again, based on the fact that it's a chovas yachid. And since it's a chovas yachid, you can't say rubo kikulo. You can only say rubo kikulo if there's a rov of a tzibor when it's a chovas tzibor. But based on that, the Reb Chaim said that it's inconclusive whether or not tefillas tzibor is, sorry, whether Kriya Satorah is part of the category the Ran says you need rubo chayavin, or it's part of the kula chayavin, which implies that it's a chovas yachid, and therefore Reb Chaim was machmir to get off the train in order to read Kriya Satorah with the Sipur.